The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Injury Show. This is the Champions of the People Injury Show. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. For a reason, we champion people's causes and their lives and their families' lives. We help injured people. We're glad to do it. We've been doing it over 30 years to help people put their lives back together again. We are injury attorneys. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. I'm Gary Bell along with Brad Pollock. We've been in business for years helping injured victims, and we can help you. We do cases all over the state of Colorado, and we have done that for years. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, and Steamboat Springs, and we do workers' compensation cases, auto accident cases, injury cases. And by the way, our website is an information letter website. You can go to championsofthepeople.com, and you can get all the information there. All of our shows are there. All of our podcasts are there. When we finish the show, it's loaded on our website as well. All of our free six legal books are there. We have one book on the Colorado Definitive Guideline on Colorado Car Insurance. Tells you what to do, gives you picture examples and narrative explanations. Easy to follow. We're glad to do this show. We teach you and try to give you a level playing field with the insurance company that tries to beat you and defeat your injury claim once you've been injured. We cover car accidents, truck accidents, bicycle accidents, workers' compensation, and speaking of which, today our subject is workers' compensation, injuries on the job. At the beginning, you need to understand this is a micromanaged area by the law. It's very unique in that respect. There are not hundreds, there are thousands of rules and regulations published in workers' comp. There are statutes that micromanage different phases of workers' comp. Therefore, if you're going to navigate this insurance maze, you're going to need some help. You're going to need to understand these rules, but you can win this war. You're still at war. Brad, let's start off by talking about the basics of workers' comp. You know, you're injured on the job, and everybody says, well, gee, I know that, injured on the job, but there can be vicious attacks by the employer and the insurance company on whether you were really on the job and whether you're really an employee.
Yes, there are a great many questions that can be brought up as far as whether or not you were carrying out the employer's duties and responsibilities, the work you were supposed to be doing, whether you were in the course and scope of your employment, whether you were actually on the job, whether you weren't on the job. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it gets expanded. Sometimes you think, well, maybe I was on lunch break, or maybe I really wasn't on the job when I was traveling to or from some spot for my employer, and it's decided you are on the job. Other times it's decided you were not on the job, and the employer will fight it vigorously, or if you're breaking a rule, or if you're one of their safety rules, that a lot of times that's not arguing you're not on the job, that's simply saying you broke the safety rules and therefore your benefits should be decreased. But that is not as easy as it seems at times. Let's say you work in a situation where you go downtown, and you are you're going to attend a meeting, and you're driving downtown to the meeting. The question is, when do you get on the job? In the morning? Have you gone into work first, and are you driving down from work? That may be a pretty simple one. What if you're driving straight from home to go downtown to do the job? To do the job you're going to do, and normally your office would be out in the suburbs. Are you now on the job because you've driven from home downtown, and now all of a sudden you are on the job? Arguments go both ways as far as what the particular duties were that day. What if you stopped off at Starbucks on the way to get a cup of coffee? Or what if you were planning on stopping off at Starbucks, and therefore as you're going down, let's say Broadway or Lincoln, you make a right turn, and you go a few blocks out of the normal path that you would be going to get to your job, because or to the job location where you're going that particular day, because you wanted to pick something up. These were all avenues and arguments that are made by employers to determine whether you're on the job. A lot of times these things can be important to you, or they cannot be important to you, or they may not be important to you, because it depends on how your injury occurred. Were you in a car crash where it was your fault? Because work comp benefits will pay without regard to fault, and therefore you may be able to get benefits if you've hurt yourself in a car crash that you caused. But were you in a car crash that was caused by somebody else? Maybe you don't want to be in the work comp system at that point. Maybe you want to be doing. Maybe you want to be in just the regular system where you're carrying out a personal injury case. So there's a lot of things that go on just with regard to that. And then, Gary, we talk about what goes on with the interplay between employees. If you have employees on the job, and you know, I can think of construction work sites where employees goof around, or even an office where employees goof around and they're doing things. And the question is, when that occurs, or what if there's a fight that occurs out at a site, and are they on the job, or are they not on the job, and is work comp going to cover it or not?
Right. And so the critical question is, were you on the job? It sounds like an easy question to answer, but many, many times it becomes complicated. And frankly, you know, as we've taught you over the years, that these insurance companies try to defeat your claim. They don't want to pay you, or they want to look for ways to mitigate or reduce the payout to you. Now, today we're talking about an injured worker, but those rules still apply, as you know, to car accidents. Maybe you were rear-ended. We've explained that to you many times. They try to blame you. And if they can beat liability, if they can blame somebody else or blame you or beat liability, then they don't have to pay you anything, not one dime. And so you need to understand these rules. Your attorney needs to understand these rules. We've had over 30 years of experience in workers' compensation. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900, or our website, championsofthepeople.com. And you can contact us through the website as well. Understand and know this. You're working for a company. Let's call it XYZ Company. You're an employee. So they're, as Brad just explained, they might attack you on where you're really on the job. Understand this. Your fight, once you're injured on the job, is really not between you and your employer, even though the employer's name appears on the pleadings. It's between you and the insurance company, the work comp insurance carrier. Know that. Repeat that. The fight is between you and the insurance company. And yes, some people say, well, my employer's going to get mad at me. The insurance company is the one that wants to beat you and defeat you. And so once you get that concept firmly, your hands firmly around the concept, you understand what you need to do by compliance with all these rules and regulations. There's various permutations of what Brad was talking about. Were you on the job? And he gave a good example. And let's go back to that example, Brad. You're going to work. The general rule is you're not paid workers' comp if you're injured going to work or going home from work. You're not paid workers' compensation. That's not on the job. Let's say you're a salesperson. You are on the job, driving your own car. And we've done a show on this, when you're injured on the job, and how that affects the civil liability with the car accident, and how that affects the workers' comp. But let's say you're on the job, and let's say what Brad's example, you decide to go over and get a Starbucks coffee. You're on a sales call. So that's called a diversion. And the law has a funny word for it. It's called a frolic of your own. And if you're on a frolic of your own, then, Brad, you're not on the job, and they're going to attack it once they find out the true set of facts.
That's correct. And so a lot of times you have to understand what you're doing and what you're not doing when you are making certain moves in your job, and when you're doing certain things in your job, because that's exactly correct. You're not on the job at that point when you're making that frolic and when you're moving over to get that cup of coffee. Now, you know, at the same time, Gary, let's say you're a couple of salespeople who've gone out of town, and while you're out of town, you're going out to dinner. You and your boss are going out to dinner. You go out to dinner and you have a few drinks, and you, on the way out from the restaurant, you slip and fall and you hurt yourself. And of course, the restaurant is saying it's because you had a few too many drinks and you weren't paying attention, so we don't have a dangerous condition. And you all of a sudden say, I want to now say I'm on the job because I was out of town and I was working at my, in essence, place of employment 24/7, and I was having dinner with my boss, and I'm leaving the restaurant. Now, once again, you know, the question is were you on the job or weren't you, were you not on the job? It's important when you hit, when you get into an injury like that, when you get into a situation like that, that you see a work comp lawyer immediately. And you talk to the work comp lawyer to get all the specifics and particulars that are that apply to whether or not work comp is going to cover the injury.
You know, the law calls out a sufficient nexus. Those are the legal words, just like frolic on your own, as I said a minute ago. But a sufficient nexus, meaning a sufficient connection between your functioning and Rod's example, out to dinner with your boss, but you're out of town. So the reason you went out of town is because you were on the job. You were required to be there, and that would not where you would normally be. And so they're going to fight. If they can beat you on the fact that you're not on the job, then they're not going to pay you anything. And you might have broken arms. You might have medical treatment. You might have future surgery. You might have low back surgery. This can become very serious and very debilitating, right? And so you need to understand that's the fight. You want to understand that. Your attorney has to understand that. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. You know, once you've been injured on the job, as Brad said, it's a no-fault situation. Like if you're in a car accident, even if you caused it, but you're on the job, you're going to get to be able to recover workers' comp benefits. And they're going to fight those. A lot of companies like to fight them, even though it's the insurance company. Some companies are self-insured. And believe me, we know the ones that are self-insured, and believe me, they're going to fight this because it comes out of their pocket. They don't pay an insurance premium. They are self-insured. So you better know the rules and regulations. You better know when you can go back to work and when you can't. And when they file a GA, a general admission of liability, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? So you're injured. They file a general admission of liability. We're going to cover that after the break. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is the Champions of the People Injury Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We'll be right back.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell with the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is Your Legal Minute. We're talking about legal game plans today. What difference does it make? Listen, you've been injured in a car crash. It's not an ordinary day or event for you, but it is for the insurance company. You need a legal game plan as to how the accident happened. What was the mechanism of injury? How did you get hurt? What body parts are hurt? Maybe it's a cervical part of your neck. Maybe it's a lumbar part of your spine, the low back. You need a legal game plan for the accident. You need a legal game plan for your damages, injuries, and losses, and how to prove them to the insurance company for the at-fault party. If you don't, you're guessing. You wouldn't guess at a recipe. You wouldn't guess at a blueprint. You wouldn't guess at directions. You need a legal game plan. Bell and Pollock will give you one. ChampionsOfThePeople.com.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at ChampionsOfThePeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. The Champions of the People Injury Show. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. Simply put, it's because we have for years and still do champion people's causes, injury causes. Injuries can affect you, your life, your work, your whole family structure, your entire family. It can affect your children, your wife, your extended family. We know that. Bell and Pollock, you can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can contact us through the website. By the way, we've written a book on workers' compensation coverage and insurance in Colorado and workers' rights to make claims. You can get a free copy of our workers' compensation book at our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can download an e-copy free, or you can call our law firm at 303-795-5900 and order a hard copy free. We'll send it to you free. Right before the break, we were talking about you're injured on the job. Okay, so they want to fight you on liability. They want to fight you. Were you in the course and scope of your employment? Were you really an employee? You might be an independent contractor. Changes the rules, right? You might be a true independent contractor. And so that's a whole body of law on that. But let's say they figure you're an employee. They say to themselves you were injured on the job. Okay, we're not going to be able to beat you there, so we're going to file a general admission. That's called a GA, a general admission of liability. This is a critical document. As we said at the top of the show, this area is micromanaged by not hundreds but thousands of rules and regulations and statutes. Know the law here. Get to a good workers' comp attorney. So they file this general admission of liability, Brad. They usually, there's all kinds of blocks they can check, TTD, temporary total disability, PPD, permanent partial disability, all this mumbo-jumbo. What they usually admit to is the very, very minimum. What they usually admit to is, okay, you can go to the doctor and we'll pay for your medical bills, period.
Well, yeah, and what you have to remember is that they'll say, okay, you're hurt and you can go to the doctor and we'll pay for your medical bills. That's after they've explored and determined whether or not they think you were on the job. They may still review that even after you've been they've admitted to it. But what you have to understand is what they don't admit to is the important part. What they admit to tells you what they're going to do. What they don't admit to tells you what they're not going to do. And you may be very much in need of those additional benefits. And those additional benefits may be something to which you're entitled. And the fact that they're sending this document out, a lot of times to the unknowing injured worker, they believe they're getting something good when they're actually getting something bad. So you have to be careful when you get that admission of liability, well, exactly what it says and what it doesn't say and what you're going to be, what benefits you're going to get, but what benefits they're excluding from you also, because you may be very disappointed if you don't act timely to protect your rights.
Yes, and so the general admission of liability comes in the mail. We always look for that as your attorneys because what does that tell us? What does that tell you? It tells you they're going to admit that you're an employee, and you think, man, that's kind of funny, Gary. Brad, that's kind of funny. I was an employee. But sometimes you're an independent contractor. Sometimes you have a different classification. Sometimes you're not on the job. They're going to admit then that you were in the course and scope of your employment. They're not going to allege that you were on a side trip somewhere getting a Starbucks or visiting a friend or whatever, and you really weren't on the job, even though you were doing a sales call. So they're going to admit you're on the job, and they admit your employer. That's just the beginning of the fight. It's a big fight there, but that's the beginning of the fight. And why is that so? Because there's so many other things that you're going to have to fight for. What about payment for your disability? What about future medical treatment? What about after they try to close the case out, you're going to learn in the show what we call Grover Medicals. What about your future medical care and costs? What about paying you for your disability, and what about your rating and MMMI? Sounds like a lot and a bunch of mouthful and a bunch of legal words, and they are. That's why you need to call an attorney. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. Do not assume because you got a GA, a general admission of liability, everything is fine. Don't assume that. Okay, Brad, the next step is you get the general admission of liability, and then they send you off to their list of company doctors, and you have to go.
That's correct. Now, there's a couple things that come up nowadays, and one is they may only have a doctor that they send you to, and that's the doctor you go to. Or they may have a list of doctors that you get to select from. These are predetermined doctors that the employer has selected. It's not as devious as it sounds, or it may be even more devious than it sounds, depending on who they picked and what the employer has done to decide this doctor. There's a lot of small companies out there, and when these small companies and small businesses get their work comp, at law you have to have work comp. Every company out there has to have work comp. So if your employer doesn't have work comp, then that's even more of a penalty your employer's going to have to pay, and you've got some rights with regard to that. Although, as a sidelight, be careful, your employer may not be having because they can't afford it, and then they can't afford to pay the penalties. But what you have is every employer is supposed to have work comp, and some employers will choose a list of doctors or a preferred medical provider. Now, I've seen it where they'll choose a list of providers based on what they hear from other companies or from their corporate lawyer, as far as these are the doctors you want to have because they're tough on employees, to employers who simply pick the doctor who's closest to their location or their main location, and they say go to that doctor. But you have to go to the doctor that your employer has selected, or you have to choose from the list of doctors that employer has selected. In the first instance, that's what you must do to go get your medical care.
For years in this state, for years, you had to go to that doctor and you could not change the doctor. Now there's a rule that allows you to make a request to change the doctor. I mean, think about this. You're going to a doctor that's a stranger to you, right? You're not going to your own doctor. Here's a list. Pick a doctor and you go. And these doctors understand the game. They understand the system. They understand that they get a lot of work comp cases a day. I mean, I've taken depositions of doctors where they see 30, 35, up to 50 patients a day workers comp. Do they give you the sufficient amount of time you need? Sometimes, sometimes not. But understand, they know where they're getting paid, right? They will deny to your face their bias. They will deny they have any kind of bias whatsoever. But they're a work comp doctor for the company and the insurance company. What do you think about that? And we've covered that in the civil car accident cases as well, called an IME. But here we're talking about going to the company doctor. You know, Brad, then one of the things, you go to the company doctor, one of their goals is to get you back to work. Maybe you injured your leg. Maybe you have an outside job. Maybe you're in a landscaping business. Maybe you're in the construction industry. They want to get you back to work, but you've had maybe you have a low back injury and you got bona fide, provable, remarkable findings on your MRI, and you can't work, or you can only do certain kinds of jobs, so they put you on restrictions. But the point is, the worker can't just assume for himself or herself that they can't work. The doctor has to say that in a script.
That's correct. And once again, what you're dealing with, and you have to remember it, you're dealing with doctors. Are you dealing with a highly regulated area of law, an area of practice, an area of medicine? And while the doctors are doctors, they have the necessary education and licensing, they're actually operating under a different kind of system. They're not acting under the normal system that you would think they would be acting under. Instead, these doctors have to do ratings. They have to provide care in accordance with the work comp guidelines. They have to make determinations in accordance with the work comp guidelines as far as whether or not somebody's able to work or whether they're not able to work. So when the doctors are doing this, yes, they have to document their records. And not all doctors agree to work within the work comp system. That's why you get a list of doctors. And once again, if the employer doesn't know these list of doctors, a lot of times the insurance company providing the workers' comp insurance is the one that's going to give you this list of doctors. And out of this list of doctors, you've got to select one. And quite often they are biased towards making sure that you're going to get back to work. Sometimes they're not. There's a few out there that aren't, but that's because they've been able to get into the system. They qualified, and they're used on the list because they're entitled to be on the list. But for the most part, these doctors are looking to determine whether or not how fast they can get you back to work, and whether or not they can get you back to work, and whether or not you need additional care. Because obviously, what the insurance companies in the work comp system want. And once again, they're the ones that are suggesting the doctors to most employers, because most employers don't know what doctors to use. The insurance company want to be able to cut off your meds. They want to cut off your benefits. They want to get you back to work, or they want to say you can go back to work and these things should be cut off. And your failure and refusal to go back to work gives them a reason to cut you off.
Right. So that's what you need to pay attention to. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. Think about this concept. You're injured on the job. They file a general admission of liability. They admit they're going to pay for your medical expenses, so therefore you can go to one of these hand-selected doctors by them, and these doctors understand they get maybe 30, 40, 50 referrals and see that many patients per day. But you can go to your own doctor. It's just not going to be covered by workers' comp. It's not going to be paid for by workers' comp. But you can always go to your own doctor. And we have a lengthy discussion with our clients about that principle and why you should want to, or maybe why you shouldn't want to. That's something you need to know and think about, and your attorney needs to know and think about. You go to the doctor and they put you on restrictions. Does your employer have to comply with those restrictions? What if the doctor says you're in the construction business and you can't do any construction work, but you could do desk work? Does your employer have to comply? Of course. What if they don't? Because do you think many of them don't? Some of them don't? You're right. Some of them do not. So you have rules and remedies on what you need to do and follow when they don't follow your restrictions. So you go through this process. You see the doctors. You get rated, which we're going to cover. But how do you get paid, and what do you get paid for in the work comp system? That's next. That's coming up on the Bell and Pollock Show, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.